This is my first attempt at a handout, so let's see how this works. Who knows? Well, I don't know. That's where it came from, but did he leave you one? Oh. Anyway, so we'll have this handout, and we'll see how well I did half asleep doing a handout. My wife also sends her love, and she's having a difficult time with not being able to be in church, and it's starting to weigh heavy on her, and she's saying that she's praying for everyone here. She appreciates the prayers from everybody here, and she just wants to be back. And I can't blame her. I want her to be back, and so it'll be probably a little bit longer before we get to that point with the progress that we're making, and so just keep her in your prayers if you would. All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we're looking at why do we sing the hymns? I found it interesting after teaching about why we use the King James Version of the Bible, I had one of the members come up to me after and said, I never knew why we used the King James. I just know that when I got saved, I was handed a King James Version of the Bible and said, this is what we use. And so he said, when people ask me about why I use the King James, he said, all I said is because that's what we use. Well, that's not a good enough answer. So he said, after I taught on that, he said, now I know why. And people ask me all the time, why do you sing the old hymns? Well, there's a reason why we sing the old hymns and not the what I call the 7-11 songs, the, 7 words saying 11 times over and over and over and with the bouncy ball. I was asked when we got this projector and the new screen and all, are we going to put the songs up there? And I said, no. They said, well, we could put the hymns up there. And some churches do that. They put the hymns up there. And no, there's a reason why we use a hymn book. And so we need to, my own personal opinion, I mean, I'm not saying that people who put the hymns up on the screen are wrong. I'm just saying that my personal opinion is, I'm old-fashioned. Let's stick with what works, right? All right, so Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So according to these two passages, we are to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In this lesson, we're going to focus on specifically why we sing the hymns, and hopefully we'll give you some reasons why we sing the hymns instead of the modern day songs. Now, I will tell you that there is a contemporary Christian movement, I will tell you, and this will be a shock to some people, but in the contemporary Christian movement, the female who is accredited with starting that movement is a lesbian. And people say, that can't possibly be. I'm just telling you, that's where that came from. And they say that that is of God. Now, God can use whatever he wants, but I'm just saying that God's not in the fact that people are accrediting part of the homosexual community with anything that's godly. So let's just keep that in mind. So there's a reason why we sing the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. And not every hymn book has the good songs in it, or hymns in it. So we need to understand that as well. If we look at both of these passages, we can see the purpose of these three types of songs in our lives. Number one, see, I'm not used to having to follow a fill in the blanks. Okay, so according to these two passages, we are to sing. The first one is psalms. The second line is hymns. And the next two lines are spiritual songs. I told you I was going to see how this worked. I'm not doing well already. I gave all that without filling that in to begin with. Might help if I follow my list. So, number one, to help us have a spirit-filled life. So that next blank is spirit-filled life. Ephesians 5:18, where it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Then number two, to help us get the Word of God in us. The next one, number three, is to teach us. To teach us. And number four is to admonish us. Again, Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The number five, it's to affect our heart. To affect our heart. Some people don't understand, but we start with a hymn because hymns are to get us prepared for the message that's coming. And so if we continue to do that, and some people say, and I hate to say this, but I got this here at this church, was, why do we have to sing so many hymns? I wonder if we don't sing enough. They're there for a purpose, to prepare our hearts for worship. And so I don't find a problem with hymns. Now, I do believe wholeheartedly, too, that some people said there should be more focus on the music and less music on the preaching, but that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches it's by the foolishness of preaching that people get saved. So we have to have the hymns, but the focus isn't just the hymns. The main focus is the preaching of the Word of God. And so let's not get that mixed up either. And then, as I put under there, to affect our hearts, again, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, which we read. And then, number six, to cause us to give thanks. To cause us to give thanks. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So always giving thanks in all things. And then in Colossians 3:16, we're told to sing with grace in our hearts. I have some people that, and I don't really notice so much here, but I was at a church where some people said, "It's just not, I don't like the hymns, I'm not singing them." I'm going to tell you right now, that's an issue of the heart. That's an issue of the heart. If you have a problem singing praises to our Savior, you have a heart issue. One of the most well-known hymns probably worldwide is Amazing Grace. We're going to look at Amazing Grace in our hymnal, and I'm going to show you how it can be used to teach some things concerning grace. So if you'll take the hymnal and turn to number 244, which I didn't have the hymnal with me when I did this, and I thought, it's got to be 244. That's got to be the right one. And then, you know when people ask you, you say, yeah, Amazing Grace is 244, until you actually go to put it in type and say, I wonder if that's really true. I better double check that. But I was right. Amazing Grace is number 244 in the hymn book. So if you'll take 244 in the hymn book and turn your handout over, you'll see some things about this hymn, Amazing Grace. Number one, you'll see that it is revealing grace. In verse 1, here we see the line, I once was blind, but now I see. The first thing that a lost person needs in order to be saved is to have it revealed to them that they are lost, and that The first line on that next section is revealed to them that they are lost, and the next two lines is Jesus Christ is the only way. First thing we got to do is get people to realize they're lost and in need of a Savior. That Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, look at John chapter 1, verse 17. John chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then Titus 2:11. But my fingers aren't working where I can get the pages turned. There we go. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Salvation in Jesus Christ only. So first we got to get them revealed to them that they're lost and in need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we understand that it's the grace of God that bringeth salvation that hath appeared to all men. And then number two, it is a saving grace. Here we see in this line, the hour I first believed. The hour I first believed. Grace teaches us to fear once it is revealed to us that we are lost and going to hell. But that same grace takes away our fear the moment that we believe. Moment that we believe. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then Ephesians 2:8 and 9, very well-known verses. I've quoted it many times. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then number 3, is sustaining grace. Here we see the line, grace will lead me home. Grace will lead me home. In living a saved life for the Lord, we will need a lot of grace, and it is the grace of God that is sufficient to get us through. I can tell you that even in Paul's time, when Paul said he had the thorn in the flesh, and he said, but God told him, my grace is sufficient. And I had one person say, that meant his grace for that thorn in the flesh. I said, no, that meant his grace no matter what the circumstances are. God's grace is sufficient. And so God's grace is sufficient to get us through no matter what. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:9, which I've referred to there. Second Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, Paul understood that God's grace would get him through. It was sufficient no matter what. And that the power of Christ would rest upon him to help him through that. See, we can't get through it without Christ's help. Doesn't matter what we're going through. And I know my wife's situation where she's going through this and she's having such a difficult time this morning especially. As I was leaving the house, she's pretty upset that I'm going to church and she's home again. And it's hard. It's difficult. And she said, but God will get me through. And it's true, he will. It's difficult. God never said this life was going to be easy, but he said his grace is sufficient to help us in this time. Then number four is preserving grace. Excuse me. Preserving grace. The last verse of this song speaks of being with God for eternity. So that next line is eternity. Note how that the grace is connected with eternal life. Eternal life. So that grace that will be with God for all eternity, because the grace and eternal life are connected. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 21. It says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So in this hymn, we see a beautiful picture of the life of a saved person. The need revealed, first line. The next line is salvation given. Supplied to get through, and an eternal home in heaven. Amazing grace. Just from that one hymn, we can learn so much about God's grace. And yet people say, well, it's not that important to sing the hymns. There's a message in them. That's why I have a problem when, and I thank God we have a church here where we sing every line of every hymn, because there's a reason for it. If we skip some of those, we skip some of the message. We skip some of what God has for us. Can you imagine, trying to think of the song now, the hymn, just went out of my brain. Another senior moment. I can't even think of the name of it. Give me one moment and I'll find it, I'm sure. Uh, My sin, not the part, but the whole. What song is that? It is well with my soul. Thank you for everybody's assistance. I don't know why I couldn't come up with that for all the money in the world there. All right, let's see. Find the page that's on. Can you imagine singing that and leaving out the third stanza where it says, my sin, oh, the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Can you imagine skipping that and not having that in there? You miss part of the message. And so it's interesting, and I've been in a lot of churches, and they'll sing the first, second, last, or the first and the last. You miss so much of the message that helps prepare us for the message God has from His Word. And so we need to be looking at those and spending time not thinking that there's that they're just a waste of time, but that there's a reason behind them, that we sing them so we can know more and be drawn closer to our Savior. All right. That didn't go not near as long as I thought it was going to this morning. So we're going to have a lot of intermission this morning. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful.